Hello, this is your Gospel Trail podcast host, Pastor Kevin, along with Sandy and Brother Don and our minister of music, Liz. First, I want to put this podcast in context. So I'm going to read a passage from Paul Anderson in his pamphlet of What About Holiness? Why is Peter stressing the mind as such an essential part of holiness? Because he was writing to people feeling the pressure of living in a pagan world. In times of stress, the mind tends to sag. The battle is won or lost in the mind. So Peter urges them, stay sober. Don't get careless in your thinking. Don't let feelings seize control of decision-making. Getting in touch with our feelings is important, as this generation will tell us. But getting in touch with God's feelings is even more important, and that means engaging the mind. Peter writes from experience. He got chewed up by Lucifer the lion when impulsiveness overruled sound judgment, and he denied the Lord 3 times. Nothing like getting clawed by the enemy to sober one up. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the 3rd day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So you wouldn't do very well in the fighting in the castle, because they got the staircases designed so that you come down from the top. You can hold the railing with your left hand and swing your sword with the right hand.
I'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
That'd be it. I'd put you in front of me. That's what I would do.
I don't think there's any left-handed people in Scotland or Ireland just because of that.
Well, that's what I'll have to tell. I'll have to tell Pam that's why we can't go, because they don't take left-handed people in.
Well, there must be something against them, yeah.
That's right.
Due to natural selection, they don't have any left-handed people in that country.
You will be right-handed. We will cut off your right arm.
Especially if you were trying to take over a castle or something. Yeah. Cut off your right arm.
Yeah, I remember those days, you know, but they never got my arm. They didn't.
No.
900 was better than 1,300, but 900, you know, you think of. So we should start.
We should start.
You look like you're all set. Who wants to open in prayer? Young men?
Okay.
I can pray.
Yep.
Father, we just thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made. And Father, as we look at Peter's letter, Lord, we're reminded of lots of things. Be holy as you are holy, Lord. And I just thank you for this time that we can lift you up, that we would glorify you in all that we would say and do. So we're praying right now, come Holy Spirit, direct and guide our discussion. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We yield and submit to you right now, all of this podcast, in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, this Peter letter, it's awesome. I mean, you have all these letters in the Bible, you know, and you're thinking, oh, that was to the church of, they did something bad and the letters are meant for them. And, you know, how could that possibly relate to me? Peter's letter is to us.
So he's talking to us.
He's talking to us. I mean, he's worried about us. And us is for now, for today, and forever. I mean, he's explaining how the thing is that, you know, the New Testament is not a list of do's and don'ts. But the New Testament is the application of his death and resurrection in our lives.
The application.
Yeah. Yep, I think...
Does that mean we're supposed to apply?
Apply.
Apply. Does that what application come
apply,
from?
Apply. Right.
We are to apply the principles that he discusses.
Right.
That he lays out very clearly.
And I think that's the fine print if we if we read it.
Right.
Yeah, he's saying apply. Peter is saying apply. But it's a good thing. I mean, it's even the definition of hope is changed if you apply the principles the realities in Peter's letter. This isn't, like I say, this isn't a list of do's or don'ts. It's
right.
God's plan put into action. So I see you got highlighted stuff there.
Well, no, I've highlighted.
You still highlighting?
Yeah, highlight and underline and those things. So I like starting in verse 13. I think that's where we were going to start today. So then prepare your hearts and minds for actions. Stay alert. Stay sober.
Ooh.
And fix your hope firmly on the marvelous great grace that is coming to you. And when I read that, where did I go back to? I went back to girding up our loins.
Yes.
Girding up our loins with the Word of God. And I was thinking, you know, I've never looked up do you know what that means, girding up your loins?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Oh, you do. Girding up your loins. Are you aware of what that is, Don?
No, I haven't read King James English in a long time.
Yeah, well, right. You know, it's the authorized version.
And I don't know what girding is.
Girding was an old biblical concept in those days because they wore long robes. You know,
yes,
they wore long robes. And what girding meant was that you would tuck in that part of your robe into the belt that you were wearing, so
yep.
that you were free to move and be able to move freely in whatever you would do. And that's where it comes, like it says, gird up your loins, or hearts and minds for action. So staying alert. So girding up your loins was be prepared for action.
Right.
That's what it is.
They wore long robes.
Both
men and women.
Right.
And
so they would have to tuck in
and that's
those
what,
things that were, right. you know, I mean, we wear robes.
Well, if
you
you're going to do work or you need your legs, and that was probably the first, you know, depending on what material they had, the first pair of jeans.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's
you let your legs move freely.
Right.
Yeah, both men or women, if they're scrubbing the floor, going outside to chop wood, that's what they would do. Gird up your loins and.
So then it says, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert. In other words, in some versions, it says be sober-minded, be focused. And to be sober-minded, it means the opposite of being drunk and not being alert. Because when I was looking at the verses 13 through 21, it's like the call to be alert, to be holy, and to be in expectation for his return. Am I living? This is what I was telling Pam was this morning. Am I living my life when at any moment he could intervene in my life and I would choose that course of action? Am I expecting him to come? And am I living my life in holiness before him, realizing he could come at any time? Am I yielded to him? Am I intimate with him and know what his desire is for me? Am I that close with him that I am ready at any point to do whatever he's called me to do? And it's interesting, the expectation of Jesus coming back. And just think about that, guys. I mean, how do we live our life in expectation that he's coming back? You know, like today, he's coming back today. What would I do differently today than I would do normally? And it's like that, and that's sobering. It's like, yeah, what am I doing with my life? Am I prepared for him? Am I close to him? Am I intimate with him? That if he came back, he would say, "I'm pleased with you." So that's kind of the what I was getting out of from 13 to 21. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you as God's obedient children. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I obedient? As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you have followed when you didn't know better.
Right.
Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the scripture says, you are holy because I am holy.
I think that is the key. He refers to children. I mean, I wanted to be just like my dad when I was a kid. You know, I wanted to be just like my dad. And what do? You know, you get a hat like his. Or I notice with all my boys, they're one is a construction heavy equipment operator. Mm-hmm. What does his kids have in their toy box? Little construction hats and tool belts.
Do they have Tonka trucks and front end loaders?
The whole bit. Yeah. I mean, you remember those.
Yeah. I still have them. I still play with them.
You get, except when you moved out there, I ended up with some of them, remember?
Oh, yeah. It's that Domino's delivery front end loader.
Oh, yeah.
End loader.
I think, yeah, they added pizza or magic dust, but the thing grew huge now, and it's sitting in my front yard still today, moving dirt around. But see, that's how kids are. They want to be like their parents. That is God's plan when he says be holy, is that he wants us to be more like him, the Father.
And that, but what does that mean?
What
does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, break this it down. This comes to me rather difficult because I was raised in a quote holiness church.
Right.
And there, right, holiness meant that the women wore long dresses, they had their hair up in buns. The men had to wear little narrow neckties when it was way out of style. It was, yeah, you know, everybody looked like they were from a different century. And I have to confess, when I think of the word holiness, a lot of times that picture is the first one that comes to me, but I think it means something much more than that.
Yeah, because holiness for us is just as you mentioned, Don, in our Western world and the century that we're in, holiness for us is a charismatic group of people. But what is holiness for God is what you're asking, and holiness to God is that his children reflect his character. Simple as that.
So does that mean we have to be perfect? Because he's perfect, right?
Right. God is perfect, but that's where this is all in context of the resurrection, this whole chapter. Verse 3 of this chapter, we're born again to a living hope. What I did do as far as looking into this, you know, I was looking for, okay, what is God telling us to do in these things? And you can pull out 5, 10, 15 things, but then I narrowed it down to what are the imperatives are in the Greek language.
Okay.
You know, because I'm still, again, put this into context and what it was written in, and at the time it was Greek language.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So all these things are true and we should do, but what I got is God is telling us to, we should hope in him. And that's why I was asking you the other night, Don, what does hope mean so much? You know, but we're to hope, we're to be holy, and we're to reverence God and live with fear.
Thank you.
and we all know what fear is from what we discussed, you know, the fear of God in the past. But
right.
The hope part, if we look at these one at a time, and again, these are things that we're to do, and we're able to do it because Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins, and he's our Father. And like I say, he wants us to be holy. We want to reflect his character. So how do we do that? I like the way it says living hope in my translation.
Fix your hope firmly. Is that verse 13? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, fix your hope. That's verse 13. It starts out with hope in the section we're in. Yeah, to fix your hope. So that's telling us, that's action right there.
Right.
But hope, and the reason I asked and really looked into this, that word, is because we'd ask people, do you know for certain that you'll go to heaven when you die? And I think 90% of the answers are, I hope so.
That's what my father said 10 days before he died.
I hope so. But I mean, what is hope? Mm-hmm. You know, that definition is the English today's definition of hope. I hope so. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, because what supports that word hope? Well, I was a nice person. You know, I went to church every day or every week, and I was nice to people. But this hope, and it's spelled out so plainly in these verses, this hope is based in Christ and Christ alone and what he did in context on the in the resurrection. We get from the Greek in the word hope, joyful, confident, anticipate, like you said, Sandy. Mm-hmm. It's all these are in that one word, an anticipative faith. It's part of your faith in this whole package. Also that Christ is the author of hope, and he who is its foundation, he is the foundation of our hope. And that's the hope that if you don't have to say, I hope so.
Right.
Hope means I know so.
Right.
And then living hope.
Right.
That in the Greek is life, to be alive. Active and blessed is in there too. And then remember the when we repeat the Nicene Creed in a denominational church, mm-hmm. every Sunday, you know, he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead.
Right.
I always wondered what quick means. Well, the living is quick. It's these people, you know.
And it's us.
That's us. He's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. The dead meaning not the dead hope,
right?
Not the living hope that we're involved with,
right?
But I'm blessed. I mean, I'm blessed in that revelation that Peter gives us of hope right here,
right? And you know, I always have acronyms, guys. Remember my acronym for hope?
We need that. Yep.
He being Jesus Christ, he's our perfect example, and he's our personal example. He is our example. We need to show him that.
Right.
And I liked what I had heard at church, the definition of hope. I think you'll like this. Hope is the confident expectation based on God's faithfulness throughout the past. He was faithful in his promises in the past. He is faithful for the present. He's faithful for the future. It's a confident hope.
Confident. It isn't,
a confident expectation based on God's faithfulness.
Yes.
I love that definition.
Yes, that is.
You know, so I'm plagiarizing from church.
Well, that's also confident expectations. I bet you if you studied that Greek word of hope this hope, that is the definition. I mean, you're not plagiarizing anybody. You're just preaching the Bible.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, right. How many times has this been said and we haven't listened?
Right. God's like,
That's exactly what I found when I looked into the Greek background for that, was confident expectation.
Yep.
And it is usually in reference to the coming kingdom, the confident expectation that we will make it to heaven. And it's, I don't think it's too much to say it's an expectation that is so strong that it's as if it's already happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That comes from the back of my mind from where... somewhere, but the confident expectation as if it's already happened.
Yeah. And of course we believe that because we are living testimonies. We can speak to those things that he's done in our life. Our hope has been in him, and he always comes through, and he's going to continue to come through because that's his character. Our hope is in him alone, and because of that, we have a future, and we have a future hope.
Right.
You know, that is our expectation.
Can I say a little more about be holy as I
yes.
am holy?
Yes, well, let's look yeah. at holy. That's a big part of this.
Having been raised in holiness churches, I've learned a lot about John Wesley. And John Wesley is the person that really spoke about holiness a great deal. But there was a recent scholar, I say recent, it's been a number of years now, but her name was Mildred Wynkoop, and she went through all 21, 22 volumes of John Wesley's works. And she said, every time he uses the word holiness, the word love can be substituted. He's meaning exactly the same thing. So love, even as I love. Be holy as I am holy. Love as I love. I think that's just remarkable. It puts a different spin on it, but on the other hand, it's a very biblical spin. And yet it's a huge expectation, but it's one that we begin by loving as we can and asking God to multiply that love.
Yeah, holiness is the evidence that we met him and are in the process of becoming like him.
Mm-hmm.
That rules out all the legalism that creeps into the all movements, you know, or all sects or denominations.
I love what in the Passion Translation, what he says after, you are to be holy because I am holy. And then verse 17, it says, since you call on him as your heavenly Father, the impartial judge who judges you and I and everyone according to each one's works, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's an easy one, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Live out your with holy awe and reverence, because he is going to judge us for each one for the works that we have, that we've done. For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of the life handed down from generation to generation. I raise my hand when I read that. It's like the futile life. I was living a futile life. I was living a life that was aimless, that was had no purpose. And I didn't know any better, you know, because I hadn't heard the truth. And why didn't I hear the truth? Because I wasn't looking for the truth. I wasn't asking for the truth. I was not, because I thought I could solve all my own problems and stuff. Nah, it doesn't work, because the devil's at work. And, you know, I just shared this on Tuesday. The devil's at work because he wants to kill you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you.
He wants to realize, get you off the track.
That's right. That you know, you just give up. You become hopeless. No hope. And yet we who are Christians have been given, that's why it's so great Peter wrote this letter. We have a living hope, and he is Jesus Christ. He's our living hope.
Well, isn't that, if you look at these, I guess I'll call them the three imperatives, these hope, holiness, and fear, and that's the fear of God. What does the devil attack? He attacks your hope. He says you're not holy, you're filthy, you're a dirt bag.
Yep, you're no good.
And he puts his fear in you, like fear that, you know, I'm going to die. I'm fearful that, you know, I won't be able to make the mortgage payment next month. I'm fearful for all these things and living in fear. That's one thing that the enemy attacks, is the fear. And that's what we have to be, be holy. Okay, there's the word be in front of it. And a be means in the Greek, when you go back to that imperative, is to arise, to become what? He says holy, and happen, you know, to make it happen. And I like this one, how you appear in history. You know, because that tells me that once you were dead, now you're alive. You know, you were a rabble rouser, you know, and now you're a calm, in charge of your emotions Christian with no fear. You're in the process of becoming holy like your Father in heaven, and you live in that hope that's anchored at the cross. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it's not just one word. you know, be holy. Okay, I'll come back next week and tell me how you did it. It's a whole process of becoming all of the above. And holy is, that word holy is literally being a saint. You know, we're saints in process. Also consecrated, we've been consecrated, pure and morally blameless, just like Christ. But we're working towards that. We're working towards that. I didn't pull them out, but there's many Bible verses that support that we are holy because He is holy and He made the way.
I like how he goes on. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. This was part of God's plan. I love that. Verse 20.
Yep.
For he was chosen and destined for this before the foundation of the earth was laid. Jesus Christ was chosen before the foundation of the earth. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you. That's for all of our listeners, for all of our believers.
Right.
It is through him that you now believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that you would fasten your faith and hope in God alone. I like where it says in verse 17, going back, I like what the Passion Translation says. Since you call on him as your heavenly Father, the impartial judge who judges according to each one's works. It says in that verse, in the Aramaic, no one will put on a face mask before him. When we are judged, no one will put on a face mask. Believers in Jesus will not be judged for their sins, since that happened once and for all when Jesus was crucified to redeem us. We'll be judged, however, for our works in order to determine the reward or lack of a reward that God gives for those who believe in Christ. So what's the key? How do we stay holy? What's the key, guys? How do we stay holy? How do we stay holy? That's a question that I always ask, you know, when I look at whatever we're studying is like, okay.
How do we apply it?
How do we apply it? How am I living my life that's manifesting His holiness? Can people say, gee, that's Sandy. Look at how holy he is. Look at how holy he is. Are my actions and my thoughts and the things that I do, do they reflect His glory and His holiness? That's always a question that really, for me, it's sobering. It's like,
right.
Okay, so what is the world seeing when they see Sandy? Are they seeing God's character manifest in me?
Right.
Because Jesus paid the price. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the ability to do all the things that He's called us for. So why aren't we doing it? Or if we are doing it, you know, how do we remain? In that holiness? And I always, my belief is that we have to stay in constant, intimate communion with God the Father through His Son.
Right.
We have to be connected, because I use this verse all the time, don't I, Don? Apart from me, you can do nothing, and that's what He says. Apart.
Right.
So we need to be connected, and that's why I was sharing on Tuesday at the jail and. We were talking about heaven and hell, because the man didn't have a good idea. He didn't believe that there was a hell, you know, and it was like, so we talked about it, is that hell is, you know, part of that is eternal separation from God.
That's right.
That is hell. And that's why the only way we can stay holy is to stay connected with Him. And
right.
So how do we stay connected? How do we stay connected?
Thank you.
you know, I'm kind draw, of going on.
Yeah, draw unto him, and he will draw unto
yeah,
you.
Draw
get
near
closer to,
me. To
him, and he'll get closer to you.
That's right.
And at some point, and not on this earth, obviously, but at some point, when we meet him face to face, we'll be like him.
Ooh, well, there you go. We're done.
We're done. I mean, suddenly.
Suddenly.
But it's not suddenly. It is a process, and that's why we struggle with this. We just struggle in this even describing this stuff. And I'm so thankful that Peter wrote this down. Mm-hmm. You know, we can review and reveal. You know, the Holy Spirit reveals as we review the Word.
Yeah. So fasten your faith and hope in God alone.
That's right.
Simple. Just fasten. It's like...
Yeah, fasten your seat belt, your faith belt,
yeah.
Because
really,
here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that means you're going to stay in the vehicle to the end. You're not going to jump out.
Right.
Fasten your belt.
And so how do we do that, you know?
Consistency. It has to be consistency
right, right.
in your whole life, that your life is the same as what you preach. They know who you are because you're that way every time. And if you happen to lapse, you admit it and you confess it and you say, the Lord's going to help me do better.
Yeah.
But generally, the person is consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's like, like you're saying, Don, how do we remain consistent? Well, we stay in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We read
yeah.
the Word. We read the Word. We say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what you want me to learn from this scripture. Stay in the Word, spend time in prayer, and as I always say, is that we pray, and then we listen to what God has to say to us through His Son. Okay, this is what I want you to do, Sandy. You fellowship with others. That's a key. You fellowship with others because you can't be a friend to the world. We are to speak to people that don't know who Jesus Christ is because we have a living hope. And it's the best life there is. And that's why I always say is it's the only way to live because I will have joy in His presence, His fullness of joy, and I will have joy. And I want you to have that joy. So how do we do that? We have to spend time with other people. We have to read the Word. We have to pray.
Right, right.
And we have to be consistent. That's really true. That's like the definition of hope, a confident expectation. That is like there's
right.
a confidence that people, when they deal with us, we're going to be consistent in how we behave and how we react. We're going to be
That's
consistent.
Right. Consistent. That's in the words be holy. The word be means it appears in history. How has our history changed? And is it consistent?
Right. Yeah. And it's, it's like I can see in my life, it's a building block.
Right.
It's like the further I go along in my Christian walk, as I realize the more need I have for Him in my life. Because He's refining me, He wants me to grow stronger in Him. And the only way I can do it is just like we say, is come as a little child, right? I just put my arms up and say, help me, Father. Help
That's
me,
right.
Father.
That's
help
right.
me, Father. And I trust Him that He isn't going to throw rocks at me, that He's going to take me into His arms and He's going to say, I love you and I will show you how you are to live and what
that's
the
right.
answer to this situation
and that,
is.
And that's the context here. I want to be like my Father.
Right.
Pick me up, Daddy, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
hold
good.
Me. I want to be close to you, Dad.
Yeah.
I want to ride
yeah.
in the truck when you bring the chickens to market.
Yeah, the desire
and
is...
And I have done that.
I want to be with you. That's the
yeah.
desire.
That's
isn't
right.
It? I mean, that's...
Well, you want to be with Him, yeah. And you
yeah.
want to be like Him.
Oh.
And he's telling us, be like me.
Yeah.
Be like me. Our way of thinking so much is say a prayer and you're going to heaven.
Right.
Well, Peter is telling us, once you realize Christ died on the cross and there's been a change in your life, the evidence that we met Him is our holiness and our faith and our fear of God.
Yeah.
A holy fear of, a righteous fear of God. Mm-hmm. And we are in the process of becoming like Him, because we're His kids. It's I don't mean kingdom now theology. I mean God now.
Right.
God is here.
Well, that's the great
He's
part.
He's not to, dead.
That's the great part to realize is that we can have, we can share part of that kingdom now.
That's
and
right.
And to all you listeners out there, we can have because we can have the gift of peace.
Well, there you
go. Remember, we keep talking about it, the gift of peace. We can have compassion. We can be right. generous. We can have those characteristics of God right now. We can
That's
live
right.
above whatever the din, because the enemy wants us to give up and say,
right.
look
right.
at how rotten everything is. And God says, no, that is from a fallen world, but in me, you can have an abundant life. You can live beyond those things, and we can have that expectation. Living in that expectation, that's what I keep, that keeps coming
right, right.
to me. Do I expect
yeah.
him to come? And I remember people asking me, and I don't know where this verse is, but maybe Don, you can remember too, is, but I remember responding to people as like, I don't know what I'm going to be like yet. I do not know what I'm going to be, but I know that when I see him, that's the verse that you
when
were saying.
When I see him, yeah.
I will be like him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how I'm going to turn out because I'm in the process.
Right, right.
Because my mind is being renewed from the...
That's right.
And my body
right.
is being renewed from the inside out, because he says, I'm going to pour this into you.
Yep.
I'm
going to
pour this yep. into you. This is the way you thought before, but I'm transforming your mind.
Right.
Be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the whole studying the Bible and spending time with the Lord is to renew our mind to the truth.
That's right.
To the truth that God is who he says he is. He's in control and I'm not. And he has my best interests at heart. And he is going to do mm-hmm. a work in me that people will see, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of others, you know, as we share with other people.
And that's where in Ephesians it explains, I mean, why we need each other, why we need, we need pastors. It says, yeah, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. That's when we go to church,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're there, as it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to tell others about him.
Amen.
To do exactly what Peter's doing, to help people focus on the main thing rather than all these other things. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ. This is his God's end game, is the body of Christ. He's laid it out here how we all as children can become like him. We're going to be learning in church. We're going to be working in ministry. We're going to be equipping the saints until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Has all these churches and different sects, the holiness, the faith, people, the what they've grabbed onto is good, but you have to put them all together in the context of 1 Peter. And until we've come to the knowledge of the Son of God and we're in unity, we are not there yet.
In unity.
We're not there yet. The knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're working for. We're not there. I'm not to the fullness of Christ. But it also says that we should not no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So the polar dork vortex is the polar vortex. I mean, even the name of that, what did it used to be called? I mean, we had a jet stream or a polar wind from
yeah.
the north. It's just that the wind comes and goes. We don't know where it comes and goes.
Right.
We can't predict the weather, however we try. But let's not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. Are people cunning and craftiness? Is there any plotting going on in this world today? It's called politics.
It's called the enemy.
It's called the enemy.
Yeah.
And politics is just, you know, the what you see mostly because they're trying to spread that into everything.
Right.
I mean, you can't buy a box of cereal without
there being some asterisk saying don't buy this because this is a multinational corporation that is
right.
destroying
That's right.
Young
yeah.
people
or
in Tanzania.
I buy this because it's responsibly sourced.
That's
okay.
right. Yeah, responsibly sourced.
There you go. But speaking the truth in love, this is how we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We're still talking about the body of Christ. His
right.
end game is to build up the body of Christ. And then it says, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies.
There it is. I'm glad you got to that, because I wrote that down here,
because
then that's unity.
That's
if we look at
unity.
All the different
that's
parts
unity.
Of the body of Christ,
that's
every
right.
joint supplying
well,
instead
that's,
of them. Well, they don't believe as
no.
I do. They're not doing this.
No, no. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're doing here today. I didn't have the answer. I mean, and I didn't propose to have the answer, but together, Don, Sandy, and myself, we came up with the truth here. We're edified in that, and we're also equipping the saints. If there's any saints, it referred to holiness as a saint. God says, be holy. A saint is holy, is one of the Greek definitions of that. We're here to edify the saints, as it says in Ephesians 4.
So our goal is always, right,
each God, other.
I mean, our goal is always to edify the body of Christ, edify each other. You know, I was reading about that. And how do we edify? We build each other up with
right.
the truth of God. It's our expectation that he hears us, that he's with us, that he's alive, and he's going to lead and guide
right.
us.
Right.
And that we are overcomers because of him, because of Christ dying
right.
for us in the Holy Spirit. We are overcomers, and we can live a life that brings glory to him.
Right.
That we can live.
I think that verse is build each other up in the most holy faith.
Exactly.
And that summarizes the chapter.
Right. Yep.
Most holy.
Most holy.
Faith.
Right.
Faith is hope. Hope is faith.
Right.
Interchangeably.
Yeah, he brings us out of, and we'll when we go further in yep. the letter.
And fear God enough not to do it. Not to do it. I mean, I fear God enough that, you know, I want to go to the assembly of the saints. Last night I went to a dinner, met a lot of people.
I thought this was appropriate. I was reading Oswald Chambers for today, My Utmost for His Highest. And it has the title for today, for January 25th, it says, Leave Room for God. But when it pleased God, and that's what we're talking about. We want to please God.
Please God. Right.
We want to please God. We want to stay in reverence, in awe of God. We want whatever we do to be pleasing to him. And I'll just read this. As workers for God, we have to learn to make room for God, to give God elbow room. We calculate and estimate and say that this and that will happen, and we forget to make room for God to come in as he chooses.
Yes.
Would we be surprised if God came into our meeting or into our podcast? Or into our preaching in a way we had never looked for him to come. Do not look for God to come in any particular way, but look for him. Look for him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way to make room for him. Expect him to come. This is what we're saying.
Expect.
Expecting.
Expect.
We are expecting him to return. We are expecting him to show up. We are expecting him to lead us. Expect him to come, but do not expect him only in a certain way. However much we may know God, the great lesson to learn is that at any minute, he may break in. We are apt to overlook this element of surprise, yet God never works in any other way. All of a sudden, suddenly, God meets the light when it was the good pleasure of God. There's that quote in Galatians 1:15. Keep your life so constant in its contact with God that his surprising power may break out on the right hand and on the left. Always be in a state of expectancy and see that you leave room for God to come in as he likes. In other words, to let him be God and to be in control and to follow his lead. I like that. Great expectation. And
yes.
I just read that before I came today, and I thought it's appropriate because we have the confident expectation. That's what our hope is.
Right.
Because of what he's done in the past,
yep.
what he's doing now, and what he's promised to do in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key. The confident expectation is the hope.
That's right. And that's what Don
yep.
said. Confident and consistent. It's the consistent expectation that
right.
he will do because he is God. And this is his character.
A living hope or faith. Living hope to be holy with fear. All out of this chapter. But that fear, something I forgot to mention earlier, was a reverence in the Greek, it's talking about reverence for one's husband. You know, right away you think like, oh, he's sexist, you know, talking about that. This is we're living with fear of God, reverence as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, for our husband in heaven. That's how he's got it made up.
Yeah, we are his bride.
We are his bride.
And we need to be pleasing to him. That's what always goes on in my mind is, am I pleasing to God?
Are we?
Today?
Are we? Right.
Am I pleasing actions
and
today?
And the fear is like, I'm not going to do that stuff anymore.
Yeah. It's a positive. It's I'm leading not, away from doing those yeah, things it's, to doing what he wants us to do.
That's right.
That's the fear.
And that's and as kids grow up, any father or mother knows there's stuff that they do that does not make sense and even puts them in danger. But their fear of not pleasing their parents will keep them from doing that in a healthy family, in a healthy fear.
And that's a good definition of fear.
Right.
Not doing what is not pleasing.
Right.
Was that double negatives?
There we go. Not.
In verse 22, it says, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for each other. Purity is a part of what holiness is about, but how do you get pure? By obeying the truth so that outcome is sincere love for each other.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good way. That's a good way. That's a good way to end in prayer, Don. Yep. Why don't you end in prayer? Because that's what it is. So that we have that love for each other. Being obedient.
Pray that verse. Yeah. I mean, that's
Father in heaven, we pray that you will purify us, and that you will purify us by that method that you have here, by obeying the truth. Lord, help us to know the truth and to act the truth, to act upon the truth. And therefore, Lord, I pray that you will bring love, overflowing love from us, loving one another deeply from our hearts, not superficially, not just in a mild manner, but to be overflowing with love. Lord, we pray that you will grant that, and that we will be people of love and people of purity. We ask in Jesus' name.
You are listening to the Gospel Trail.